If you turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs and chapter 27. Begin at verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbour that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping is a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would bless it and speak to us this morning through it. We pray, Lord, that we'd all be led closer to the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. In the previous chapter, it talks about various relationships with kings and those in authority, and with enemies and with neighbours, and these type of situations and how we're to behave. And then we move into chapter 27, and it's really talking about, much of it is talking about friendship. And I just want us to think about this this morning, and the friends that we have and how we are friendly to other people. And those two aspects of friendship, how we are friends to others and the ones that we have gathered around ourselves, and the type of people that we have who are close to us. And in verse 5 it says, open rebuke is better than secret love. And then in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And this in a way gets right to the heart of friendship, because I wonder how willing we are to come with that word of correction to somebody. You see, the real demonstration of the fact that we have that friendship with someone is that we are able to come alongside them and bring that word. That word of correction, a word of rebuke. And it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we know, we've all experienced it, where someone has drawn alongside us and has said something that has maybe pointed out a fault in us that we haven't even realized was there. And we've experienced it, and it's a painful thing. The reality is, because none of us want to be brought up on our faults. None of us wants to have anything revealed about ourselves. And when someone comes along and points out something that is wrong in our lives. We feel the pain of it. We feel the discomfort of it. It's like a wound. I can think of various times in my life where someone has come alongside and has spoken a word into my life that has been as a wound. But it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I know that they have come from the heart that is faithful. And it comes out of that covenant, because there's this sense of a covenant that you have with a friend. You have this relationship where you have that joining together with a friend, which gives them the authority and the ability to speak in this way. They have this ability to speak into our lives so that they can come with that open rebuke. We're in Proverbs in chapter 27. And so it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I wonder, how do we respond to those words? Have we got people around us who will come with that word when we need it? Are we gathering together, are gathering round us the sort of people who are spiritual, who are full of the Spirit, who are full of the Word of God, who are full of Jesus, who, when we need it, will bring a word to us in the right moment, at the right time, that will lead us on to a deeper walk with the Lord? And those are the type of people that we're gathering around, because those are the people that we need to gather around ourselves. But also, is that the type of people we are? Are we the type of people that care about our friends so much that it says it is better to have to show forth an open rebuke than secret love? It is more important in that time to come along with a word that deals with the problem in the life of a friend than to have this concealed love that we say, oh, we care about this person, we love them, but we're not actually demonstrating it, we're not showing it. Because the real demonstration of love and care is that we will reveal the fault in that person, not out of criticism and harshness. Tom was sharing, I think, in the week about how we take the plank out of our own eye, and it's this, we can come with this kind of judgmentalism towards others in order to take out that speck in another's eye, and it comes out of a lack of love. That plank in our own eye is our own eye is like a judgmentalism towards others. It's a lack of love towards others. But when we come with an open rebuke that is faithful and is out of love and is out of care and out of a desire to restore, that's the demonstration of true friendship. It's coming out of a real love, and it says open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend. And those are the type of people that we need around about us. And that's the type of life we need to demonstrate if we're going to truly be friends. If we're those who say we're a friendly people, then we will work in love. When we come with that word, we will do it in a way that is full of love. But then in verse 9 it says this. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And there's that sense of the person being refreshed as he puts on the ointment and that picture of just having been completely refreshed. And I know in my own life, and I've got certain friends who I know that if I spend time with, that they are going to give me good counsel. I know that if I'm pondering some matter, and I go and spend time in their presence, I know that I'm going to get wise counsel. And these are the type of people that we need to gather around us. Because there are people who will draw close to us, who can give us unwise counsel, who can draw us away from the things of the Lord, that just they may be nice people, but the people that we need to gather around us and close to us and the friends that we have need to be those who demonstrate wise counsel. This is the sort of people that we need to, and that's the sort of people that we need to be. We need to ask ourselves, am I full of the Spirit? Am I full of the Word of God? Am I full of Jesus? So that when that friend comes to me, am I giving them wise counsel? Am I a person that is, well, when they spend time with me, will cause their heart to be refreshed and rejoice? What sort of person am I? Am I a person that leads to other people being refreshed in the Spirit and rejoicing? What sort of person am I? When I spend time with a person, do they go away refreshed and rejoicing in the Lord and uplifted? Is that the sort of person I am? Is that the sort of person you are? If someone visits your house and you have a meal, or you just spend some time together, when they leave the house, do they go away? If it's a couple, if they go away, do they go away saying that was just such a wonderful time? Their hearts have been refreshed. They're rejoicing. They've been strengthened. Because they've been with you, and you've been full of Jesus, you're full of the Spirit, and you've imparted something to them. That's what a true friend will be, and that's the sort of friends we need to be towards others. Or because it would be a dreadful thing if people leave, and they're feeling down. They're feeling downcast as a result. They're feeling low. They're feeling despondent. They're not feeling uplifted. But you see, a friend, a true friend, a friend will bring refreshing to another. And it says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Those are the people that we need to draw alongside us, to bring into our, as it were, into our circle. And those are the type of people that we need to be to others. That's the sort of life. And this gets to the heart of Christian community. This gets to the heart of Christian fellowship. It's people gathering together as friends, one to another, one with another, refreshing one another, and bringing that word when it's needed. But out of a faithfulness in that relationship. That's at the heart of any fellowship, any community, any group of believers. This should be at the heart of it. It should be a rock on which we are. We're on the we know we stand on Christ, but this should be the what knits us together, that love and that friendship one with another. And then it says in verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy father's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far away. And it's this aspect of don't forsake your those friends. You see, it's very easy for us when we're in a time of a crisis, we will run to our friends. But what about when they're in the time of crisis and they're needing us? You see, we need to have that constant fellowship with our friends, constant relationship, constant care, constant praying for them, so that they are able always to come to us. You see, we need to be ready to reach out There'll be times when we need to we need that friend. We need that the time of calamity where we'll be running to the friend for help and care and protection and whatever manner of provision it is. But what about our friends when they're in need? It says, don't forsake them. Don't just get so busy with your own life. Don't get so busy with just the matters of. And it's so easy to get very busy in life. So easy. Just even the simple things of just the matters of a household. We become so busy, and we forget our friends. And I know in my own life, if I look back, and especially when I was younger, it was so easy for me to leave it such a long time with regard friends. And before contacting them again. And at times, I wasn't even aware of maybe the trials and the difficulties that they were going through, because I was just, the communication was just not there. It wasn't that we'd fallen out or anything, we were just not communicating. And it's saying, don't forsake your friends, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what the trials are. You don't know the difficulties they're going through. You don't know the challenges. Unless you spend that time with them and spend that time communicating with them, that care and that love that reaches out to them, don't forsake. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not, because they need you. Because it is, as it were, and I don't want to make some sort of great spiritual point, but there's that covenant that you've got with your friends. There is that covenant with you. With friends, you think of David and Jonathan, and how they had that covenant together. They had that joining together, and there was such a wonderful love before one another, and the care that they had for one another, and that they would not forsake one another. And that's at the heart of friendship. That's the demonstration of friendship. And I wonder if that's that is found in our lives. And it says, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. And again, I think of David and Jonathan. Think of David and his brothers. David, when he goes and he fights Goliath, think of the response of his brothers. But then think of his relationship with Jonathan. How different it was. He was far closer to Jonathan than he was than the flesh and blood. Far closer. There was that intimacy, that there was that care, that there was that extraordinary love between them. And I wonder, do we have that same kind of love? And when we're facing the calamity, have we got friends that we can go to? And when our friends are facing calamity, who will they go to? Will they go to you? Have you proved yourself? And they think, the moment they're in the calamity, the moment they're in the storm, the moment they're in the trial, the moment they're in the difficulty, the moment it's as if everything is being poured out on them, all the difficulties, all the struggles, everything is against them. They feel as if they're knowing attacks from the enemy. Everything is encircling them. Are you the friend that they will go to? Because they know that you are faithful. They know that you have wise counsel. They know that you will refresh them like that ointment and like that perfume. That they will go away from being in your presence, refreshed and revitalized and renewed. That sort of friendship. Are we those sort of friends to others? That we bring a refreshing and a renewal in them, and when the calamity comes, have we got that time? Are we willing to make the sacrifice that we'll drop everything? Because our love and our concern is so great for them that we have that empathy, we have that care, we have that true pity that we reach out to them. And we're not mindful of all the things that are going on in our own lives. We say, no, they're facing a calamity, and we have that friendship and that covenant with them, And I have that friendship and that covenant with them, and I'm going to reach out and meet them in their need. I wonder, is that the sort of friend, those are the sort of friends we are, and have we gathered round us people like that who we know will be faithful in the time of calamity? And then later on it says, in verse 17 it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And again, I wonder if that's the sort of friend. Those are the sort of friends we have, and is that the sort of friend that we are towards others? Do we sharpen the countenance, the life of another? Are the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, are they the sort of people that will lead us closer to Jesus? Because if they're not leading us closer to Jesus, if they're not causing us to walk in greater holiness, if they're not causing us to walk in a deeper relationship with the Lord, then they're not going to cause us to grow spiritually. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his countenance of his friend. And those are the sort of people that we need to gather around us, those people that will lead us closer to the Lord. And you might say, well, how do I do that? And it's very simple. It's a prayer that God's going to answer. If you say, Lord, I need people who will come around me, who are people who are full of the Spirit, who are full of Jesus, who love you, he will draw those people into your path and draw them close to you, that they will build you up in your faith. But also say, that's the sort of person I want to be. I want to be a person that causes other people to grow in their faith. I want to be the sort of person that causes other people to be drawn closer to Jesus and grow spiritually. That's the sort of person. I want to be a person that causes someone else to be changed and have that deeper relationship. You see, that's what's at the heart of friendship. So often we can look at others, and I see this so often, especially in sort of modern society, that people talk about friendship, but really there's such a selfishness within friendship. It's what I can get out of someone else, what I can receive from them, rather than that sacrificial love that says, I want to be to them a refreshing. I want to refresh their soul. I want to refresh their heart. I want to be a person that gives and gives and gives again. When they're in the time of calamity, I want to be there for them. When they're facing the difficulty, I'm going to be the one who provides. They're the person who is close to me, I'm going to lead them into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And the Lord will use you. Your Lord will use you to be that great friend to many people as you lay down your life and as you're sacrificial in that way. But that's the type of people he's looking for. He's looking for us as believers to be friendly towards others, to be friendly. And as we prove that, so he will gather people round us that we can demonstrate that friendliness to them. But it all comes out of a love for one another. It comes from that faithfulness towards one another. It comes from a desire to see their good. And that's at the heart of friendship. It's seeing another person's good, seeing them encouraged and refreshed and built up. And it's not just, and it means that we have that selflessness at the heart of it. And ultimately, the unbeliever will look on. And it's amazing how much of the time, how much the time an unbeliever will spend looking at believers. They're watching, they're observing, even in the tiniest thing. We know this from experience, just working with the young people. They're watching us all the time. Everything that we do, everything we say, they're observing. And unbelievers are doing that towards us. And if they see that friendliness, that love that binds the believers together, they see, as it were, a reflection of that love that Jonathan and David had. Then they see that, and that has a profound effect on them, because that is not something that the world really knows. It doesn't comprehend that sort of friendship. There is so much selfishness in so-called friendship in the world. There isn't that love and friendship that the believers have, and they look on and it causes them to wonder. And so often, but unbelievers have been drawn to Christ because they see the love that is displayed amongst believers. They look on and they wonder and they see that something is totally different. They see, they may be walking to a fellowship, they may walk into a church, and they see a friendship and a love that they've never experienced. And they see it binding those people together. And that challenges their hearts, and they see there's something different, and that is, their hearts begin to be warmed, so that God begins to speak into their hearts. Time and again, people have got saved just by being amazed at that closeness that unites believers, and that's the sort of love that we should have. That's the sort of friendship we should have. And the wonderful thing is that it's not. It transcends any barriers that you might naturally find in the world, because it breaks down all barriers of young and old and all of these things, all of those kind of barriers that the world sets up. In the church, where there's that friendship, it breaks all those barriers down, and there's that love, that incredible love. You can have someone who is very young and someone who's very old, having that friendship and that love and care for one another. And it breaks it down. Those barriers that are there in the world are broken down with that spiritual friendship that is found within the church. And those are the sort of sort of people we need to be. We need to be those who are truly friendly towards others, and gather around us those people who will do us good and build us up in our faith. And strengthen us, that we might grow, and that we might see God glorified. And it's the working of the Spirit that will do this. As you pray, and as you see, and as the Spirit of God works, He will use you to be a friend to others, and He will draw alongside you more and more friends who will be there in your hour of need.